Hello, everybody. I see Monica saying hello, Regina. Congrats on being vegetarian. Yeah. Let's see. When did I start? Sunday. So today's day four, and the vegetarian thing is going well. We went to a theme park yesterday, kind of a Six Flags kind of place here called Carowinds, and I didn't know how vegetarianism was going to work there, but it was fine. I found it was actually a barbecue place that I found. Where I was able to order just the sides. So I had like a tossed salad and macaroni and cheese. So I'm sure it's going to work great. I'm not alone right this second. I have two friends in the room with me. One's here quite often, but you guys aren't always aware of it. It's my friend Jamie. She's my black lab. She loves to sleep on the love seat while I teach. But then I also have another friend here, Sophia. Sophia, do you want to say hi? Here she comes. Come up here and say hi into the microphone for them.
Hi.
Do you want to tell them how old you are?
Six.
Six. And who's your mommy?
Debbie.
Debbie. Debbie is a friend that's probably going to be staying with me maybe for several months. Met her through John Mulrooney. And Sophia came here to hang out with us and to get to know who we are. And you've been having fun, Sophia? Yeah. And right now, Jasmine's in a room watching TV, and Debbie went to the store. So Sophia's here with me, and she's laying on the floor coloring a Peace Pilgrim coloring book.
I
See you.
want to finish on hers.
Yeah, she's so they're saying hi, Sophia. We are here for Holy Spirit Guides, and what I'm going to do is give you a link. Holy Spirit Guides is just the period of time that we've set aside to go through all of the messages that Holy Spirit has given me to be helpful to me. These messages are all stored at reginadonacres.com, and we've been spending a couple years now going through them in chronological order. And we're now in the month of January 2006. And this is a link to at least the first message that we're going to look at tonight. What'd you say, Sophia?
I got happy when I heard six because I'm
Oh, she's got happy when she heard six when I said 2006 because she is six. That meant something to her. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go into prayer. So if you all would join me in prayer, I would greatly appreciate that. Holy Spirit, I want to say thank you for everything. I am aware that I am showered with blessings. Having Sophia and Debbie here is a blessing. Having Jasmine and Jamie is a blessing. My friend from last week, the prophetess Sibby, was a blessing. All of the guidance that I receive is a blessing. All of my friends are blessings. All of this opportunity to teach, which deepens my own connection with you, is a blessing. All of my opportunity to learn to listen to stillness within, regardless of the conversation, regardless of the circumstance that I seem to be having in the moment, is a blessing. There are so many blessings, Holy Spirit, I couldn't even begin to thank you for them all, and I am guessing that I'm not even aware of them all. So, without listing my blessings, which would be a complete impossibility, I just simply want to send a great big heartfelt thank you to my heart, to that symbol of that place within the body, that symbol of true desire, which is the guidance, the guiding force that brings about all of these blessings, which are being used to help me and my friends awaken. Thank you. As we look at these messages tonight, these gifts that were given once upon a time, again, I say thank you. And I just ask that as we look at them tonight, that you help us to see these messages in the way that is most helpful to see them now. And you help us to realize whatever is most helpful to us to realize now. Thank you. Amen. All right. So I've given you a link. It's possible that a couple other people entered the room. So let me give you the link again. There we go. This is the first message we're going to. And yeah, I'm grateful and I'm happy. Last night I was told I was lucky, very, very lucky. Yesterday my battery died. I mentioned we went to Carowinds, the local amusement park, which is kind of like a Six Flags kind of thing. And when we came out, the battery was dead, and we just looked up, and right there was a cop. So we had the cop come over and charge the battery, and we were out of there in just a few minutes. It was very easy. We drove about 30 minutes, and we stopped at a Thai restaurant to eat dinner, went in to eat. And when we came out, the battery was dead again. And so we went back in. Debbie went back in to ask if anybody there had any jumper cables. And sure enough, there was a guy there with a jumper kit. And he came out, and he gave us a jump, but he said, "You lucky, very, very lucky." He said, "My friends had no power last night. You lucky." And what I got out of that was that the only reason he had the jumper kit with him is because the night before he had to go get it to help some friends. And so we were lucky. So once again, we were able to drive home. We drove a whole hour from there to get home. But when I went out to start the car this morning, although it did start, you could tell that it barely had enough juice to start. Really, the battery was old. It was 6 years old. So I did go to Walmart and get a new battery today. And I'm very happy about how this whole thing unfolded, because Jazz and I are actually leaving on a trip next week. It's going to be about 3,000 miles in the car. And I do feel lucky, very, very lucky, to have discovered the old battery before we hit the road on the big trip, and to have had those people all along the way to give us the jumps we needed yesterday to get where we were going. So so that was nice. What we're going to do now is we're just going to look at this message that I've given you a link to. And it's called The Thoughts of God. And it's from January 2006. And I'll just begin reading the message, and we'll see what it has to say. So start it off with a question. I asked, Holy Spirit, what would you share regarding the thoughts of God? Because, of course, that's a term that's used both in NTI and A Course in Miracles. So let's see what these, and of course, this is just a symbol, right? Thoughts of God. So let's find out how Holy Spirit describes what this symbol is meant to represent. The thoughts of God are loving thoughts. Loving thoughts have being within the perfection that is God. That is to say, the thoughts of God are not words, nor are they made up of words, nor can they be described by words. The thoughts of God is that which is beyond words, because it is beyond perception. I love just that first paragraph alone, because to me, you know, prior to any kind of, you know, reinterpretation by the Holy Spirit, to me the word thought would have meant words. It would have meant thinking mind thoughts. So, you know, like if I was to read the first sentence of this paragraph without having read the whole paragraph, where it just said the thoughts of God are loving thoughts, I might have walked away thinking that, you know, when I say, I love you, Jasmine, that's a thought of God. And actually, although that can be a wonderful expression, and depending on where it's coming from, it can be a wonderful expression, a Holy Spirit expression of the love that we are, the words, I love you, Jasmine. Those words can also be very special words and be very much ego ideas of what love is. And, you know, the truth is, either way, you know, it's just, they're just thinking mind thoughts. This is, I think, was very important for me to realize. The thoughts of God are before the thinking mind, or the thoughts of God are not the thinking mind. They can be reflected through the thinking mind, I suppose, just like the real world is a reflection of reality. But if we want to get very pure about what the thoughts of God are, the thoughts of God, just first of all, just those words are simply a symbol. They do not refer to thinking mind thoughts at all. In fact, they refer to something, which is a very poor word, something that is even beyond perception. And although this isn't even anything that we can truly talk about at all, I think it's wonderful to understand this, because I think that there's a natural confusion when we see the word thought to think of thinking mind type thoughts. And so therefore to think the thoughts of God refers to our human thoughts of love. And that just isn't necessarily true. In fact, almost always our human thoughts of love are actually ego. So let me just keep reading. I'll read the first paragraph again and we'll go on to the second paragraph. But it's a wonderful opening of the mind to realize that the thoughts of God are beyond thinking, before thinking. The thoughts of God are loving thoughts. Loving thoughts have being within the perfection that is God. That is to say, the thoughts of God are not words, nor are they made up of words, nor can they be described by words. The thoughts of God is, I love that, the thoughts of God is. Notice even though the word thoughts is plural, it's given an is. And of course, this is representative of the oneness. This is not a typo. This is purposeful speaking on the part of the Holy Spirit, this mix of the word thoughts with the word is. The thoughts of God is that which is beyond words, because it is beyond perception. Notice again, he says it. It's called thoughts of God, but then it's referred to as it. You know, I thought I was going to go beyond this paragraph, but I don't think I am yet. There's just so much here. Again, just using symbols, but we've had so many discussions about oneness and individuality on the peace of God. So many discussions. You know, some people seem to stand very firm on the presentation of the idea that we are separate individual beings, with lots of emphasis on the separate individual beings. And often the urtext is pointed to, because the urtext does use the word separate. So the urtext is often pointed to show that this is what Jesus taught through A Course in Miracles, that we are separate individual beings. And then, of course, others, you know, speak of oneness. And some refer to oneness as, you know, I think a great term that Maz uses, which I think really describes the idea that we've probably all experienced at one time, is the idea of blobism. Some people think of oneness as blobism, and the idea in blobism is somehow that I am going to die. That's the ego's fear, that I am going to die. I'm going to be sucked up by God and killed if I surrender into awakening. And, you know, there's just so much talk and so much thinking about, you know, the one versus many idea, and what is the one, what is the many. I'll tell you what, a friend of mine that's in the room right now, Lord Blue, I really feel one of the most brilliant things I ever saw written in this, you know, discussion came from Lord Blue. And I wish I could remember everything you wrote, Lord Blue. I don't. It was over a year ago, actually. But the main thing I remember that the idea that he was sharing, at least as I interpret it through my filter, was maybe we don't know what one is. Maybe we should stop thinking we know what one is. I just thought that was brilliant, Lord Blue. Maybe we don't even know what one is. You know, so it kind of makes the whole debate just stop if you accept that maybe you don't even know what one is. And, you know, when we look at how Holy Spirit has written this sentence, it kind of brings that up, because again, notice it says the thoughts, there's a plural there, the thoughts of God, but then is, the thoughts of God is that which is beyond words, because it is beyond perception. Both the plural and the singular are in that paragraph. And it is really, truly my feeling that we should just let go of all not only debate, but all trying to figure out, all trying to figure out what we are at that intellectual level that's trying to figure it out. Just let it go. And just instead practice the simple things the Holy Spirit gives us to practice. You know, I've never once, Holy Spirit has given me a lot of messages, all of NTI, you know, there's all of A Course in Miracles, all of the teaching from Ramana Maharshi, all of the teaching from Peace Pilgrim, you know, whatever else I've been guided to. Never once have I seen the Holy Spirit in any of those forms say, in order to awaken, you must figure out what God is. I've never seen that written. You must figure out what God is. I've never seen it written, in order to awaken, you must figure out what oneness is. Or you must figure out how all of you are one. I've never ever seen that written. And yet we put so much time and energy sometimes into trying to figure that out or trying to debate that. I really think we should just let it go and practice the things Holy Spirit does ask us to practice, like watching our minds, recognizing the ego, you know, letting go of the ego, realizing that whenever I'm upset, it's my ego. Look at my ego. Let it go. Learn to let go of thinking. Find more stillness. Be patient with myself. Rest, accept, and trust. These are the kinds of things that Holy Spirit asks us to do. So, I love this sentence. It certainly doesn't answer any questions. But I think it supports Lord Blue's idea that maybe we don't even know what one is. And maybe all of those discussions are just, as Teddy has just written, a distraction. Trying to figure it out is a distraction, Teddy has written. Let's see, what else has he written? He says, when you are ready, you won't even have to ask, for you'll be ready to see and be shown. I totally agree with that, although I haven't been there yet. I trust that. He says, trying to figure it out is a distraction. We can't know until we are ready, and it would be helpful to know. All is given as we can accept the lessons we are required to learn from Holy Spirit. I'm also just reminded right now of a message which we jokingly called the Lord Blue message. So Blue's coming up a lot tonight. But I was just teasing Lord Blue when I called this the Lord Blue message. It actually had nothing to do with him whatsoever. I was just playing with him. But it did have to do with the color blue. It was a message we got from the Inner Ramana that said, trying to explain to someone who is not awakened, trying to explain what reality is like trying to explain to a blind man what blue is. Holy Spirit, actually it was Inner Ramana, Holy Spirit as Inner Ramana. Inner Ramana said, you know, you can tell a blind man about the coolness of blue and the fiery hotness of red, and that will give him an idea of the difference between blue and red, but it still does not answer the question, what is blue? He said, however, if the blindness, if the error that is causing the blindness is discovered and healed, then the blind man will see blue, he'll know exactly what blue is, and nobody will have to describe it for him. He'll know, he'll just know. And this is the way it is with our reality. It can't be explained to us. Nor can we understand it. You know, we're the blind man, and the reality is like the color blue. It can't be explained to us, nor can we understand it. But if we follow the Holy Spirit's instructions to uncover the obstacles to love's presence, to uncover our errors, and let them be healed, then we will see. Then we will know what reality is, and no one will have to explain it to us. It's that simple. So, again, I love this sentence. It doesn't answer the question, but it does tell us there's something we don't understand. The thoughts of God is that which is beyond words because it is beyond perception. I think that's enough said. Holy Spirit continues. You, in your truth and perfection, beyond the perception of illusion, are a thought of God. I'm going to read that again because I think I stumbled a little. You, in your truth and perfection, beyond the perception of illusion, are a thought of God. So we could say, you are reality, or you are the blue that you seek. There you go, Lord Blue. Do you like that? You are the blue that you seek. You are the reality that you seek. You, in your truth and perfection, beyond the perception of illusion, are a thought of God. You have life and are life. You are within the mind of God, and you are the mind of God. I love, you know, this is very much reminding me of Jesus, you know, saying, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Notice, you have life, and you are life. You are within the mind of God, and you are the mind of God. You're not only within it, you are it. And then look at this next sentence. The mind of God is within you, so that you extend the mind of God through thought. This is creation. That which is created by creation lives as you live. It is a thought of God, as you are a thought of God, because it is the extension of a thought of God. As your creation, it is within you, and you are within it. Look at that. Our creations are within us, and we are within them. As your creation, it is within you, and you are within it, because it is an extension of you, which is an extension of God. You know, this paragraph, you know, one could argue makes no sense if they wanted to, and I would not argue with them. I would allow them that perception. This paragraph makes no sense, you know. I'm in the mind of God. I am the mind of God. The mind of God is in me. As the mind of God, I can extend the mind of God. The creations that come from that extension are in me, but I'm also in them. You know, someone could argue this makes no sense, but I think that somewhere, if you get beyond thought, which is what we are talking about, we're talking about going beyond thinking, mind, thought, it actually makes perfect sense. Yeah, and you guys are getting it. I mean, Lord Blue has just written, this paragraph is a spiritual masterpiece. Monica is writing, only God is. And that's exactly what this says. This says that there is nothing different from anything else. Yet we still have that S there somehow. We still have those thoughts that is, right? We still have those thoughts that is. We still somehow have extension and interaction. You know, it's all there. Teddy is writing, it actually makes perfect sense of a diagram, the tech crew. This is what his Holy Spirit shows up as, a tech crew, for those of you who don't know Teddy. He has a team called the tech crew. This is his Holy Spirit. He says, it actually makes perfect sense of a diagram the tech crew showed me of how oneness actually works, as we are, as soul in oneness. So there we go. The sentence, the paragraph that might make no sense to some makes perfect sense to others. And of course, if this paragraph makes perfect sense, it really means because we have the readiness for it too. We have the readiness to listen with spiritual understanding instead of thinking mind understanding. Spiritual understanding can at some level grasp, depending on our current readiness, understand this paragraph. Thinking mind alone never could. It makes no sense. It just makes no sense. Holy Spirit continues, thoughts are being. Now, we learned before that thoughts are not words, that thoughts cannot be, what was the exact thing he said? They cannot be described by words. He didn't say reflected, because obviously we reflect thoughts and words all of the times. But a reflection of a thought is not the same as a fully accurate, leaving no questions description. Thoughts of God cannot be described in words to where all questions will cease. That's just not possible. But here we have a reflection of what a thought of God is. And notice that that says that thoughts are being. Just being. You know, and I love the question that's coming into my mind now, what is being? And in fact, even the next question that's coming into my mind is, what is required for being? And after what is required for being came into my mind, a lot of false answers popped up, just to show that they were false, actually. Like, a body is needed for being. No. At one time I may have believed that, but I don't now. No, that's not true. Five senses are needed for being. No. Something else that I can experience is needed for being. No. Being just is, as Monica wrote above, God is. Being just is, and thoughts are being. So the thoughts of God are an isness. It's a word I like. Isness. Just an isness that's beyond anything that we could think about or describe. Thoughts are being. Extension is creation. There is no beginning or ending or limitation upon that which is life. Now, I love this. Life and love are synonymous, so that you must be love because you are life. I love that, because I don't know about you guys, but when I certainly started the course, I was so screwed up about what love is. I would have defined love as, well, for example, when a person is nice to another. Love is always nice, right? Well, even in the Bible, it has some great ideas about what love is, and they're still very helpful ideas, but they are only ideas, because they say things like, love is patient. Well, does that mean that if I am not patient in the moment, that suddenly I am not love? Well, when I'm not patient, am I still living? Am I still life? Yes. Well, if life and love are synonymous, then that means that love is not at all dependent upon whether I'm being patient or impatient in the moment, nice or rude, romantic or walking out the door with my bags packed. You know, love is not those things that we tend to think of as love. Not if life and love are synonymous. Because I am being, no matter how I'm acting, no matter what I'm believing. So my believing and my acting has no effect on the fact that I am love, that I am life. Because that life always is. Remember, there is no beginning or ending or limitation upon that which is life. Life and love are synonymous, so that you must be love because you are life. Holy Spirit continues. The mind of God is one, and the thoughts of God are one with it and are of it. The mind of God is one, and the thoughts of God are one with it and are of it. Perception must be illusion, which is not thought, but perception, because it is like a mask laid over thought to define it and limit it in a way that cannot be. So the thinking that we tend to think of when we say thoughts. There's really a difference between thinking and thought here, based on the way thought has just been defined for us, because thought would be first, if you'll forgive the linear description, thought would be first. Thinking would be a mask that's laid on top of thought. And when thinking is taken away, thought, also called beingness, also called life, also called love, is still there. Thinking is not required at all for thought, for being, for life, for love. And thought cannot be extinguished by thinking. Thinking can distract you from the thought that you are. It can make you think all kinds of ideas about who you are and what the world is and who that is and what's right and what's wrong and what should be happening now, but the whole time that we are distracted by our thinking, we are still thought. We are still being. We are still life. We are still love. So the thought of God has no dependency whatsoever on thinking. It has nothing to do with thinking. Thinking can be let go, and thought still is. The mind of God is one, and the thoughts of God are one with it and are of it. Perception must be illusion, which is not thought, but perception, because it is like a mask laid over thought to define it and limit it in a way that cannot be. You and all that lives in truth and perfection in its fullness of being is the thought of God. And of course, that you is way beyond who we think we are, right? Because that's all thinking. Who we think we are is thinking. So that thought is way beyond all of that. But the good news is, it is our reality. That fear of death is just a hoax. Because the thought that we are, beyond what we think we are, is perfectly eternal. Perfectly eternal. God's thoughts are forever. So that is the first message that we'll look at. We definitely have time to look at another message, and I will get you another link. But what I want to do is I'm just going to let go of the mic and see if anyone else has anything they would like to say or share at this point before I share the next link with you. So here I go, letting go of the mic. All right, Lord Blue, I'll let you ask a question as long as you don't use any of those great big words I saw you type. Like, what is that? Isnessizability? Just don't use that in your question. You got a deal. Go ahead, ask your questions. Yeah, question. Why did the separation not happen? He's playing with me, I think. He likes to ask questions like that. But of course, the answer is because it's an absolute impossibility. It did not happen because it's an absolute impossibility. And how lucky are we? You know, how lucky are we? Think about it. We are perfectly bound, and no matter what we think we are doing to one another, we can never change that. We are perfectly bound as the love that we are. How lucky are we? And just like that guy said to me last night, you very, very lucky. We are, all of us. All right? Here is a link. There you go. This is our next message that we're going to look at tonight. This message, also from January 2006, is called The Truth is True. The truth is true. And I have no idea what this message is about. I had no question. This is one of those times when Holy Spirit just came to talk. The first sentence is very intriguing, so it will be fun to find out what this is going to say, because it starts with, the truth is true and cannot not be true. The truth is true and cannot not be true. I think I talked to you guys, if you were here, a couple of Holy Spirit guides ago about my greatest fear, was, I've seemed to have healed this fear, at least, as far as I can tell, but you never know. Sometimes things come back at a deeper level. So I won't say for sure, but I don't experience the fear the way I used to. My greatest fear used to be that the truth was not true. That was my greatest fear. I told you that was the fear that would bring me to my knees. That was the fear that stopped everything for me. And I told you how a little over a year ago, March or April of 2008, I looked at that fear fully. I think I described myself as laying on the love seat with my tongue hanging out for about a week while I fully looked at this fear. And since that week, of time spent looking at that fear, I have not experienced it like I did before. So it may be healed. It may be healed. But of course, at the time in January 2006, when this message would have come, it was still my greatest fear. So let's just see what Holy Spirit has to say about the truth being true. Because again, my greatest fear was that the truth was not true. Here we go. The truth is true and cannot not be true. I am the voice of truth, and I am within you because the truth is you. Which really follows our last message perfectly. Notice the complete consistency of the teaching of the Holy Spirit. I am the voice of truth, and I am within you because the truth is you. I am the voice of your truth, which is one with God's. This must mean that you cannot die and cannot be limited. This must mean that your current experience cannot be all that you have to experience. This must mean that every limitation you sense is an illusion selected by you to serve a purpose that you once served. I'll read that last sentence again. This must mean that every limitation you sense is an illusion selected by you to serve a purpose that you want served. And of course, we must be aware that the you in this sentence is not the human person. This would be more along the lines of the thought, the one behind the mask, the one who made the mask. The mask did not select the limitation. The mask is the presentation of the limitation. So Regina does not select the limitations that Regina believes in. The whole personality of Regina is the mask. It's the presentation of the limitation. The you in this sentence is way beyond that. This you, he's speaking to our divine mind, not our human mind. Okay? So this must mean that every limitation you sense is an illusion selected by you to serve a purpose that you once served. And this must mean that you are having an experience that you desired and designed to yourself to have. And this must mean that you are having an experience that you desired and designed yourself to have. This must also mean that you are free to experience that which you choose to experience, which means that you are free and there can be no limits. That's a great paragraph. That's a great paragraph. It's what I call Holy Spirit logic. Holy Spirit is basically telling us we are the maker of the mask. We are the maker of not only the personality, but the personalities of the world. We are the maker of all of this. This is just like the Course's language, the dreamer of the dream. We are the maker. And if we are the maker of the mask, then we must be beyond the mask. If we can make the mask, along with its belief in financial lack and financial abundance, sickness and health, the human ideas of fear and love, you know, all of the things that are a part of our worldly mask, if we can make that and experience that, then we must be absolutely free and beyond limits in order to have made that. And this is what this speaks of us. So it's a great paragraph. And in fact, if you guys don't mind, and I'm going to just read it again. It's a great paragraph. And it's wonderful for us to take a moment to listen to words that point to our truth, that point beyond our falsehood, which we do very much believe in, and point to our truth. So here we go. The truth is true and cannot not be true. I am the voice of truth, and I am within you because the truth is you. And by the way, I'm sure that Holy Spirit was probably really speaking very directly to me. Obviously, this is true for all of us, but remember I mentioned that the truth is not true was my greatest fear. And when that fear came up, I was also, although I still listened to the Holy Spirit and still wrote down the Holy Spirit, was very afraid of the Holy Spirit. I was afraid that the Holy Spirit was the voice of my insanity. And that makes perfect sense in a crazy way. I mean, if the truth is not true, then the Holy Spirit would be my insanity. And the ego would be my sanity. So it's completely upside down. If the truth is not true, then the Holy Spirit is the voice of my insanity, and the ego is my sanity. And so really, Holy Spirit is addressing this fear in my mind by saying, I am the voice of truth, and I am within you because the truth is you. So Holy Spirit is saying, basically, I am your sanity. I'm the voice of your truth. Continue to listen to me. And the good news is that I did. That's the good news, that in spite of this, you know, horrendous fear, I did continue to listen and continue to write down and continue to practice. And thank God for that. Thank God for that. Like the guy said last night, you're very, very lucky. You know, very, very lucky that in spite of the fear that the Holy Spirit was actually my insanity and the ego was my sanity, for some reason I continued to listen to the Holy Spirit. Just thank God for that. Really, I'm very grateful. Very, very grateful. So again, this paragraph. The truth is true and cannot not be true. I am the voice of truth, and I am within you because the truth is you. I am the voice of your truth, which is one with God's. This must mean that you cannot die and cannot be limited. This must mean that your current experience cannot be all that you have to experience. This must mean that every limitation you sense is an illusion selected by you to serve a purpose that you want served. And this must mean that you are having an experience that you desired and designed yourself to have. This must also mean that you are free to experience that which you choose to experience, which means that you are free and there can be no limits. Then Holy Spirit continues, what is it that you choose to experience now? Do you choose to experience bodies separate from you, with separate wills and separate lives? Do you choose to fight them or resist them as you protect the will and life that you want to have? That's a great question. It's a great question. Because first of all, if we're not asking ourselves this question, this is probably what we are doing. If we are not stopping to ask ourselves, do I really want to fight or resist others as having a separate will than mine? If we don't stop and ask that question, that is probably exactly what we are doing, because that is really the default in the world. That is the nature of the ego, which is the default in the world. So I may be in a relationship with someone, for example, and, you know, it seems like that person wants one thing and I want another. And there are lots of thoughts in my mind about this idea of separate wills. In fact, it seems incredibly real to me. It seems, in fact, downright obvious that, you know, the other person wants that and I want this and we aren't able to agree, and it continues to cause conflict. That sounds just obvious in the world. That's because we think the ego is our sanity. But instead, the Holy Spirit is our sanity. And the Holy Spirit is asking us to simply ask ourselves, what is it that you choose to experience now? Remember, you are creator of the experience. What is it that you choose to experience now? Do you choose to experience bodies separate from you, with separate wills and separate lives? Do you choose to fight them or resist them as you protect the will and life that you want to have? One of the things we were talking about at dinner tonight is that, actually it was during dishes, while we were doing dishes, is that, you know, the ego has a question that seems to present the opportunity for happiness. And that question is, what about me? What about my wants? What about what I want? And, you know, the ego presents that question in the mind as if I can get others to think about me and what I want and what I need in this relationship or in this family or in this household, then I will be happy. So the ego presents the what about me thought as if that is my salvation. What about me? But what I challenge everyone to do is the next time the what about me thought enters your mind, stop and ask in that moment, am I happy? Because what I promise you will discover is every single time that thought comes up, what about me, you're not happy in that moment. In that moment, you are actually feeling lacking. You're not happy whenever the what about me thought comes up. Therefore, the what about me thought is not the answer. It's the opposite of the answer. It's the ego's lie. So whenever you choose to fight or resist others in order to protect the will and life that you want to have, you're actually choosing to be unhappy. What about me? The ego's promise of happiness. If I can get what I want, I will be happy. What about me? Is, as Bill Free has just written, a big fat lie. And you can prove it to yourself. You do not have to take my word for it. Prove it to yourself. Just make a note. The next time you find yourself saying, what about me? Just ask in that instant that the question is in my mind, am I happy? And you will find that you are not. I promise. I promise. So we want to ask ourselves, do I choose to continue to fight and resist others in order to protect the will and life that I want to have? And we want to ask that question, realizing that if we do choose to fight and resist others to protect the will and life that we want to have, that we are also willingly choosing the experience of unhappiness. And then we can go back to the first question in this paragraph. What is it that you choose to experience now? Is unhappiness my choice? I think almost all of us are sane enough. We're sane enough to know that is not our choice. And so if I can see that what about me is making me unhappy, and then I can ask, well, is unhappiness what I want now? I can also see that I want to let go of what about me. It's perfect, because you know what? We're not totally insane. We're only insane when we're fully listening to the ego and not the Holy Spirit at all. But the Holy Spirit is the voice of our sanity. So if I will practice what the Holy Spirit asked me to practice, I return to sanity. When I listen to Holy Spirit, I return to sanity. So I can ask, when I hear myself saying, but what about me? What about my needs in this relationship? What about my needs in this family? Stop. Am I happy right now? No, not absolutely not. I can feel it. I'm not happy right now. Is this the experience I choose? No. Okay then, I'm going to let go of what about me? It's actually not rocket science, is it? Holy Spirit continues in the next paragraph. If this is what you choose, then this is the experience given you. You cannot escape your own choice. You must experience that which you have intended to experience. It is a gift you have given to yourself. So if I continue to fight or resist others for the will and life that I want to have, I am choosing unhappiness. And because the truth is true, because I am the maker of the mask, and because I can design the mask any way I want, if I choose unhappiness, yay for me, I get unhappiness. But do we really want to be that insane? I don't think so. I don't think any of us do. I think people only do that out of ignorance. Only out of ignorance. Anyone who is awakening to who we are and how we choose unhappiness will begin to make another choice, because none of us are really that insane. We all know that we want to be happy. We all know that. Only out of ignorance would we make a choice that is, in fact, the cause of our own unhappiness. So if we choose to fight or resist others in order to protect the will and life that we want to have, then we are giving ourselves the gift of the experience of unhappiness. It's our gift to ourself. Holy Spirit continues in the next paragraph. Your own gift does not make you happy, because it is not an experience that is natural to your being. This is why it doesn't make us happy. Division and conflict are unnatural to what you are. This is why you have another choice, a choice that cannot be taken away, because it is your reality and your nature. You have the choice to stop fighting for division by accepting that you do not will to fight. And of course, in order to do that, you have to lay the ego aside, because the ego thinks it wants to fight. The ego thinks that fighting for what I want is happiness. It's perfectly mistaken, though, and we've just proven that. So, but in order to lay down that will to fight for my way, you have to also lay down the ego. You have to move fully into Holy Spirit, fully into right mind. But if you do that, you actually can and will lay down the desire to fight for my way. And you'll be happy. And you'll be happy. I think this is the true meaning of do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Holy Spirit continues, your true will is peace, which is revealed through rest from the perception and belief in division. Now, what Holy Spirit is talking about here is whenever my mind would begin to spin on how I wasn't getting my way, how I was being treated unfairly, how I was being victimized, you know, whatever the story was at the moment. What Holy Spirit has taught me to do is to rest my mind, which literally means stop listening to those thoughts. Move into stillness, away from those thoughts. This is resting the mind. And of course, when you move into stillness, you let those thoughts go, what you feel is peace. Holy Spirit says your true will is peace. And peace is revealed through rest from the perception and belief in division. I will not find peace if I continue to entertain those thoughts. I must be willing to take a break, to rest, to let go of those thoughts. Holy Spirit continues, in order to truly rest from the perception and belief in division, you must also give up your desire to be divided from God. This means you must let go of your wish to be separate from Him. which also means you must lay aside your will. Remember my way. You must lay aside your will and surrender willingly and joyously to His. I either have my way or I'm following guidance without any attachment to what I'm guided to do. And in fact, the last 2 weeks in Awakenings, this is exactly the idea I've taught. I also talked this morning about how recently I failed in following guidance, but I'm actually happy about the failure because it pointed out to me something I needed to see. And it helped to increase my desire to get better at surrender. But I was seeing how I was holding on to my way through the idea of practicality. Now, Reflected Words has just written, but isn't His will my will? Depends on who the my is in that sentence. The ego does have a will that is not exactly what I would call God's will. I have a friend that's staying here right now, Debbie. And Debbie is, she's talking about different things that she wants. And you can feel, when you're talking to Debbie, you can feel when she shifts from the ego wants to the more guided wants. You can feel it. You can see it. It's clear. It is absolutely true that when she switches to the more guided wants, that then her will and God's will are the same. But when she's not in the more guided wants, when she's more at the surface, they're out of alignment and they're going to make her unhappy because she's fighting for my way. So it is true that my will and God's will is the same, but that's when I'm in alignment with my true will. That's not when I'm listening to my ego's way. Then they are not the same. And the ego's way will lead to unhappiness. All right, Lord Blue, what you got? When you say, I tend to follow guidance, God's will, who is this I that says this? Yeah, Holy Spirit has spoken to me about this I. And Holy Spirit has said that the I that wants to follow guidance, that I is a pointer to the true I. And that is the I we are to follow. There is also an I in the mind that is ego. That I might say, for example, I want to make a lot of money. I need to make a lot of money. That I is the false I that I should question who wants to make money and let it go. Or I'm really scared. That I is the false I. That I is the I should question and say, who is the I that is scared and let it go? But the I that says, I want to follow guidance, that I is actually the pointer to the true I. So that I is the I that I want to follow. So when we are taught through teachings such as Ramana Maharshi's teachings, the inner Ramana's teachings, to question the I, questioning the I is teaching discernment. And most of our I thoughts are ego, and those I thoughts will disappear if we approach them with discernment. But there are I thoughts that we will feel in our heart as the I we are to follow. So the I that wants to follow God's will, Lord Blue, is the I that I am to follow. It is the I of my true desire. It is in coarse language what we would call the Holy Spirit. I hope that answers your question perfectly. Okay, so what I'm going to do is go back to the message then. Let's see, we are out of time, so let me just read this last paragraph and then we'll stop, okay? As long as you choose to maintain your will, you choose to maintain the experience of separate wills. So when you find yourself experiencing this experience, the experience of separate wills, know it is because you want it so, and rejoice in your freedom. Remember that when you want the experience of mine no longer, it must disappear into the willing and joyous acceptance of your truth. So he is not asking us to judge ourselves when we want my way. He's just asking us to recognize it and recognize that we are the creator of that mask that has a my way and celebrate our freedom to create the mask. So he's not asking us to judge it. He's asking us to celebrate our freedom to create the mask. But notice how he's pointing our attention to who we really are instead of who we are not. And if we point our attention to who we really are instead of who we are not, the creator of the mask instead of the mask, eventually the desire for the mask will naturally die. Or as he says here, mine will disappear into the willing and joyous acceptance of your truth. And so Lord Blue is also asking, do you mean Holy Spirit is an I? Yes. Within me, Holy Spirit is an I. All right. So that's it. I am going to let go of the mic, and I'll see you guys, I guess, next on Friday at 2, and then Saturday night at 8:30. We'll go over another Ramana message then, okay? Love you. And Don Karp, I've been wondering, are you Don Carpenter from South Carolina? Are you my friend just down the road? Let me know. I'm letting go of the mic now. Bye. Yes, yes. Okay, hi, Don. Hi.